This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson, you know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
We actually played a showcase for the Music Row, and Steve got his first writing deal out of it. You know, so did Skip Ewing.
Like the minor league of awesome.
We were the only ones who didn't get a publishing deal.
Really?
Yeah, we just kept playing at Opryland.
Episode 422, Marty Rowe of Diamond Rio, which, by the way, they're going out. Go watch them. They're doing their holiday shows, Holiday in the Hits, kicking off in Baton Rouge on December 1st. But it's pretty cool. I mean, Diamond Rio was the first concert I ever went to. And I do bring that up, but I almost forgot to bring it up. I guess I've known we're going to do it, and I've thought it 10 times, but I almost never said anything about it. And then I kind of felt weird going, yeah, it was at a theme park.
Because I why do you feel weird?
I don't know. Because I didn't know if they would be like, yeah, that's before we hit it. I just didn't know. But it was at Magic Springs. It was awesome. There were like 1,000 people there. It was my first ever concert. So Marty Rowe of Diamond Rio. Now he talks about the band. They originated as the Tennessee River Boys back in the 80s. They turned into Diamond Rio. They signed with Arista Nashville in 1991. I mean, come on. This song, Meet in the Middle, is like the ultimate country jam. I mean, this is it. And if I were to go through just some of the songs that I listen to over and over again, I mean, Beautiful Mess from 2002 was really a jam. What a beautiful mess, what a beautiful mess on me. I mean, Norma Jean Riley, come on. Norma Jean Riley, jam. I mean, they have a bunch of number ones. Oh, how about Unbelievable, 1998. It's a miracle how my heart stumbled into someone's soul. I forget about how good that one is sometimes.
The length of their career is crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. I mean, 91, and then they put out, I mean, I think their last number one was in the 2000s, I believe. Was
That's crazy, though, from the 90s to 2000s.
I know. Here's I Believe from 2002. Our love can't even reach across. And then here is Walking Away, another song I like. Here you go. Love don't get nowhere, walking away. It's interesting because, you know, this band that he talks about it where they played all their own instruments, and that wasn't really welcomed at the time. And we get into that. But here he is, Marty Rowe of Diamond Rio. Follow them on Facebook at Diamond Rio, on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Diamond Rio Band. They have a current release called The Kick, which you can check out. And here he is, Marty Rowe. Marty, how the heck are you?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm still here.
We've not
met. If we have, I don't remember it.
So I will own it.
Yeah. Okay.
I think, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, I think, did you do Blake Shelton's video?
No, that was Jimmy.
Okay. Then
and his son.
I saw everybody all at once. A bunch of people come in when I was leaving because I'm with Blake.
Out in LA or somewhere.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So then we haven't met. That was the only time I thought we might have been in the same room.
No, that was Jimmy's deal.
I don't even know what.
Yeah, they had
Feed the Dogs or something.
Did Scott produce that? Scott Hendrick.
Probably, if it's Blake.
And so
I was out there doing Idol, and I was with Blake, and then I was leaving as the whole band was coming in, and I was like, what's up? And that was it.
And so Scott sent that off to Jimmy, and Jimmy put the solo in there.
Hey, that hat's pretty cool. It's a Burberry hat. Hey.
I wore it just for you. That's the truth. She said, he's really into hats. You want to hear the whole story?
I want to hear the whole story.
You can cut it out.
We won't cut a dang thing.
Go ahead. Here's the deal. So in 2020, my wife and my two daughters were scheduled. Somebody was sending them on a trip to Paris. And they really wanted to go. And my brother's daughters were in school over there. So anyway, that got nixed, of course, because it was 2020 and it didn't happen. So last year, they had to cash out their plane tickets, and they ended up going to Hawaii. And I'm on the road making a living, and she's complaining about being in Hawaii for her vacation. Anyhow, fast forward to this year, they finally got to go to Paris. And so I had looked at one of these hats. I didn't know. She said, what do you want for Christmas? And if I want it, I go get it. And I'm not real picky about stuff, but I have a large hat collection, and somebody told me you do too.
I have a hat collection, a shoe collection, dog collection, it feels like.
I have a collection of shoes.
Mm-hmm. But not a shoe collection.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Do you know how much that hat cost you?
Yes, I found out. I found out. So couldn't find it in Paris. She finds it in London. Apparently, it was cheaper, which is a relative term.
Very relative,
and not any of my relatives. But she goes, it was 420 euro. So get your phones out, and you do the translation.
Well,
it's a lot of money.
When I saw you coming, I was like,
I said, when I first saw it for Christmas last year, I said, oh, man, I don't want one of those. I said, that hat is literally, you put something of that garment on, and it's basically saying some things I don't want to say to people. And she goes, well, we can find a fake one. And I went, well, that's even worse.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I appreciate it. When you walked through, I was like, that is legit.
330 or 40 bucks for this hat. And this is probably the only place I will ever wear it.
Really?
Just for you.
No.
That's a fact.
It brings out your eyes.
Yeah.
Did you know? And you don't.
I brought you a couple.
I know. I see that. I can't wait to look at them.
They were not that expensive.
What's interesting about you and about Diamond Rio? My first ever concert of my whole life was you guys.
I heard that.
Oh, you have.
How old were you?
11.
Okay.
Something like that. Diamond Rio formed in 1982 at Opryland, USA, a former theme park that was based on country music in Nashville. And they had some member changes early in the years, but since then, the band has consisted of the same six members from 1989 to 2022. Three of the band's albums have been certified platinum. They've received 4 Group of the Year awards from the CMAs, 2 Top Vocal Group awards from the ACMs, and 1 Grammy award. We went to Magic Springs, and it was at
in Arkansas.
Theme park. Yeah. A theme park. And I mean, I listened to you guys' tape. It was that transition of tape to CD time for me too. So I had the same exact tape and CD, same album, because it had all kind of shifted from tape. And I was so pumped. And it was awesome. I mean, I don't really remember anything except for just like being, I cannot believe I'm seeing famous people. That's what it felt like to me as a kid in a small town from Mountain Pine, Arkansas. And you guys are my first concert ever. And it was awesome. And I kept waiting for Me in the Middle. And you did it finally, and then that was it. Show was over. It was great.
Yeah, we learned pretty quick when we only had one hit, which was Meet the Middle. You play that one last, or your walkout music after that. So
that was that. You know, you listen to music sometimes, and it really reminds you of things. Listening to that record, that reminds me of riding in the van going to and from church. That was a really significant time, and that's what we listened to.
I've been there, done that.
That's what we listened to. That was that record. Back every time we did anything, was that record.
Is that right?
You have a big piece of like my memory and my life with you guys. When you go and you start singing at Opryland, now this is before Tennessee River Boys. This is just you. What were you doing at first when you started to be a performer? Were you doing songs about the park? Were you by yourself? Were you in a group? Like, what is your first singing job at Opryland?
Yeah, it was a cast show called Country Music USA, and we did what you would call mimicking, and we did country hits, and you were supposed to, it was a caricature, mm-hmm. do kind of what your version of them, and I had an ability apparently with my ear to
Who's that?
To do a lot of
Who'd you have?
What'd you say?
I did. I had the ability with my ear.
Got it, with your ear. Something you said. Got
to,
it.
To be able to manipulate my voice and sound like different people somewhat.
You could sing like the artist?
Well, enough to that it got by. I mean, I was a big Gatlin fan, so I could do, I can't do it anymore, but I could do Gatlin. I did Hank Sr.
Could you do impressions too? Like
that's what it was.
Yeah, but could you do like spoken impressions?
No, not really. Just singing.
Some of my friends have that ear, like you're talking about.
Yeah, I can't. A little bit, but no.
They can hear someone sing, and they can sing just like them. They can hear like a Rich Little or whomever. But they can do those impressions like that. But you could do that singing.
No, but you got to sit and practice that.
Is that what you did?
Yes, I did for that.
You would just listen to the tape over and over?
Yeah, like Stephen Curtis Chapman, you know.
I do know him, yeah. Stephen Curtis Chapman. He's an American contemporary Christian music singer, songwriter, producer, actor, author, and social activist. Chapman began his career in the late 80s as a songwriter and a performer, and has received the most awards in Christian music. That's 5 Grammys and 59 Gospel Music Association Dove Awards. That's more than anybody. Chapman's first number one was His Eyes, which was released in spring of 1988.
His eyes never close in sleep, and no matter where you go, you will always be in His eyes.
Steve and I did the Plaster Flat and Earl Scruggs. Jeez, excuse me, forgive me. But yeah, we did that, and so that wasn't too hard. But the Gatlin thing is really kind of what got me in the door. At that time in my life, I pretty much could nail that.
You and Stephen Curtis Chapman working together at Opryland?
That's where we both got our start. We were writing some together. And actually, when I got into this band, which was the Tennessee River Boys at the time and had a show at the park, we actually played a showcase for us and about 3 or 4 other writers that were worked out at the park for the Music Row, and Steve got his first writing deal out of it. You know, so did Skip Ewing, Tim Nichols.
It's like the minor
Sally.
It's like the minor league of Austin,
we were the only
Nashville.
Ones who didn't get a publishing deal.
Really?
Yeah, we just kept playing at Opryland.
The Tennessee River Boys, that always turned out that evolved into Diamond Rio. But how did the Tennessee River Boys come together to begin with?
It was some other guys, not any of us. And they had a new ride called the Grizzly River Rampage. And they had formed a band and were playing private things at the hotel. They had a booking agent. And the hotel, they formed a band to get jobs over there. And then they asked them to just do what they were doing. And it was basically top 40 type stuff, current country music. And they were good performers. Paul Gregg, the bass player in Restless Heart, his brother Danny, and Matt Davenport, and Ty Herndon was the lead singer.
And so they just rotated, but since it was an act there, did people come in and out?
Yeah, man, the band was, it was kind of like Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
There were many different people that claimed have been in this band, yes.
So what was special about you guys' version of it?
Well, it became much more original. We became more focused. When I came in, we were more focused on trying to get a record deal. Alabama, the advent of Alabama had happened because that was in 82 and Alabama was brand new. And the idea of a kind of a rock and roll band in country music, self-contained, so it was perceived. And so we chased that dream. At the same time, Paul and Greg and Scott Hendricks and all those guys were doing the putting together a band down on the row. They'd been playing studio stuff, and we were all just young, trying to do hip stuff that was basically a cross between our country background and the 70s rock and roll that we grew up loving. And we kind of melded those two things, however you, some way, shape, or form, that those influences are in both and what we do. And, we just kept on plowing and creating, and reality of getting married, having children, attrition, guys go, I can't, because we weren't making any money.
Right.
And so one guy would leave and we would be down about that. And then, you know, somebody new would come in. That was me. Ty went and did Star Search and finished second, got a record deal out of it, and he left the band. And so they asked me to join. And I was still working at the park in another show. So another guy did the park part, and I'd worked at the park when we were not working at the park. I was in the band, and I didn't sing lead. I just sang tenor and played mandolin and acoustic. And then, you know, one by one, drummer and piano left shortly thereafter, and Dan Truman and another guy named J.J. Whiteside was a drummer at the park. We left the park. J.J. left. The steel player left, and we had to replace the guitar player, and that's when Olander came in March of 85. And it was it went kind of fast but for a while there, but we kept changing members, and the sound kept getting more unique and different. And when Gene came along, all of a sudden I went to singing the low part, the bass player, the only original member left, Matt, was singing. And we started getting that bluegrass thing, because I was familiar with that and named from roots in Eastern Kentucky and stuff. And then Matt decided to leave when I became the lead singer, and Dana came along. Of course, he is bluegrass. It's the Osborne brothers and all that,
right?
Uncles. And it just, I can remember the first song we did with Dana. It was the vocal sound, man, it locked in. But the idea to have a piano and a Fender guitar and a piano was just organic. And the different influences that we had, we'd all like Dixie Dregs. I don't know if anybody knows who that is, but they had a lot of ensemble harmony stuff instrumentally. So instrumentally, we had a unique sound. And I thought I wanted to hang on to that, because instrumentally, you knew who we were before you ever heard the vocal. And I thought that was valuable.
Let's take a quick pause for a message from our sponsor.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah, that's what the whole store basically is, fresh leather,
yep.
Friendly staff. Or you like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com. Tecovas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Bachrach as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Sure.
And we're back on the Bobbycast.
Whenever you were playing mandolin or rhythm and singing.
As soon as Gene came around, I hung the mandolin on the wall, and it's pretty much been there ever since.
Yeah. Well, were you ever like, I should be the lead singer? Like,
no.
When you weren't the lead singer, you didn't feel like you should be?
I was shy.
How do they coax you into it then?
I liked singing lead the melody, but I didn't want to be the front guy. I'm shy, and naturally, I don't tend to not really care to be out front. I can be a ham, I can do it, but I had to learn how to do that. But it happened because of Keith Stegall. We went in the studio with Keith, and we were doing original stuff, try to get a record deal, and Keith agreed to produce some tracks on us, and we did a couple things that we had written, and Matt couldn't sing the scratch vocal and play bass, so I sang all the scratches, and that was the first time Keith had ever heard me sing lead.
So because he couldn't do them both at the same time at the level it needed to be done.
In the studio.
Right, yeah, that's what I mean.
Back then you would have bleed and stuff.
So he had to do them at the same time.
So he played bass and I sang scratch. With the intention that he would come in and overdub over me. But then we had a meeting after that, and our Keith asked us to get together, and we did. And he said, I think Marty should pitch some of these songs with him as the lead singer. And unbeknownst to me, all my other bandmates, other than the one who was singing lead, all jumped in and really agreed with that. And
how'd you feel about that?
It became a very uncomfortable moment. Matt was not happy, and rightfully so. He's a great musician. He's been very successful. And we had a gig. We had to go work. And, of course, back then, having a gig was a big deal because you didn't have them all the time. And it was in Canada. We did 2 weeks down in Canada, in Montreal. Not a soul spoke English. And we spent 2 weeks in this band house in this very uncomfortable situation, and I was had to stand in the center and become the lead guy. And I was, nobody knew. It was a great place to do it because nobody would ever know. But I began to learn that craft. And when we got home, Matt called me and said he had decided to leave. So then we had to look for, that's when Dana came along. That was in 89.
Well, when did the band transition from the Tennessee River Boys to Diamond Rio? Was that late 80s?
Yeah, musically, we've always, since about 88 or 9, we've been what you know as Diamond Rio. Of course, we're better at it now.
Sure, I'd hope, yeah.
But
why'd you change the name?
Well, we changed the name because Tennessee River Boys sound like a gospel group.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's not really what we did. And we wanted something that was a little more nondescript, a lot hipper sounding, more current for the 90s anyway. But we decided not to change the name. We had a following under that name that we were making some money with. So when we were in the studio, we would go out and work as Tennessee River Boys. Matter of fact, we did our first radio promotion tour when Meet in the Middle came out. We were touring as the Tennessee River Boys, but we would stop at radio stations and do our Diamond Rio.
That's funny.
Radio visits to pump the new single. And at the end of each of one of those shows, we would play Meet in the Middle and say, we've changed our name. And all the people, you could see their eyes go, I've seen you. I've seen that video.
Got it.
Yeah.
Why Diamond Rio? Like, what are the names? I'm always interested in words. Why those words?
Glad I don't have to do that. That was a very, very difficult. Picking a name is awful. But I'm glad it's over. But we had gone through a bunch of names, and we had a bunch of friends. And believe it or not, that name came from Shenandoah guys, Mike and Marty. They did business under the name Diamond Rio. I think they still do. Like when they check in a hotel, Shenandoah, it's Diamond Rio doing business as Shenandoah. And they said the record label didn't like it, and they used the R-E-O thing, and so they didn't use it, and they just kind of said, here's something. Because we'd been messing with Diamondback and Diamond. We liked Diamond for some reason. And we liked that. We changed it to RIOs, more Southwest feel. And we also didn't have a clue if we'd get sued by the trucking company, which is Diamond Rio is made.
There's a Diamond Rio trucking company?
Crossroad trucks, yeah, and dump trucks and stuff.
Spelled the same?
No, it's spelled REO.
Got it.
Quick history. REOs, Oldsmobile. Okay, sold to GM. He started making
R.E. Olds was his name?
Yes.
Huh.
Oldsmobile. So R.E. Olds was, and so they started making fire engines. Thus, REO Speedwagons.
That's my next question.
That's what they were called. And then there was a trucking company called Diamond T. They merged in 1964, and became Diamond REO, and they made trucks till they were still making some trucks when we first came out, mostly dump trucks and cement mixtures.
And you never heard from them going, hey, you got our name?
No, they called us. When we were in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, which is where this factory was, this was in 91, and said, do you want to come tour the factory? And we did. I got mud flaps. I got all kinds of real stuff in my garage right now.
So you guys are known in like the history of country music as the first band to ever put out a debut single and it go number one. I guess I'm surprised that that had never happened.
So were we.
Like, I'm not surprised that song did it or that you did it because I was a big fan. But that it had never happened with any band to go number one on a debut single.
Yeah. It's really tough. I mean, Alabama didn't do it. And they would probably have the best shot, I guess. But they had Tennessee River, and it came out, and it went like top 20. And then they released My Home's in Alabama. That went number. Then they re-released Tennessee River, and it went number one. But they were the closest before us. Now, that's happened since. But there was, before Alabama, there were quartets, okay? There was the Oaks, and there was the Statler Brothers, and things like that. And little duet, brother, like the Osbournes and Jim and Jesse. There were a lot of those, and those were considered vocal groups. But there really weren't, Nashville was all about the same A-team. When Chet was here, they streamlined that. And it was a factory, and so great players, but they played on all the records. And being a band and coming up in the 70s, rock and roll was all about the band. You didn't even have pictures of the band. It was just Chicago logo, whatever. And that's our wheelhouses when we were growing up. And that was a big part of our musical influence. Thank goodness it was really cool music, great music. And I never really made a distinction between, I didn't grow up making a distinction between country and, because I did classic stuff, I was in choral groups, and I just liked great music, and I enjoyed all of it, and I guess in some way, shape, or form, there's some of those things that influenced what we did, and it's kind of a hodgepodge, which is true of all generational music. This generation has something, a lot of different things that influenced them that never influenced us, and the same thing's true of my predecessors. So
when you guys played, you talk about bands and how the bands that you looked up to had certain images and sounds. Do you guys play every note on the records?
Yes.
I mean, that again was kind of unheard of then, because like you're talking about,
yeah,
all the players.
For country music, it was unheard of, and we didn't take about at least two record deals because they didn't want us to do it. They wouldn't let us do it, and so we kind of turned down. That was a breaking point, a no negotiation for us, which is amazing that we had the intestinal fortitude to do that.
Especially.
But we knew that our sound was unique. Not that we thought we were better. It's just different than what, otherwise the only thing that would make us unique would be my voice and our three-part harmony, which is got some uniqueness, and I think it would probably work. But you would have lost all of it.
Are they like, you're crazy? You're not taking a deal?
You have lost Jimmy Olander's Fender guitar and the texture between Gene and the piano, and that Bender playing unison licks and harmony licks. All that, they could have tried to mimic it, but there wasn't the first Bender that ever existed, as far as double Bender like Jimmy plays. Him and Joe Glazer made it in their dorm room in Belmont. Jimmy and Joe are they forged that path. There was Bender's Gram Parsons played a B bender. There were B benders, and it had to do with the steel guitar. For those who don't know what that means, it's like a steel guitar. There's little mechanisms. You see their knees go wacky wacky. They're bending
like Suzanne Somers, Nine Master.
Yeah, stretching the string to a half step one way or the other, down or up. And so Jimmy has that mechanism hooked to his guitar strap and to his belt loop, another one. And so he does these weird commotions. And that's how Meet in the Middle was created. That lick, you can't play it. He can't play it without a bender guitar.
That right.
Nicely done.
Yeah, it's exactly that. People think that's the studio recording. It's not. It's actually come out.
Meet in the Middle was released in 1991, and it was the first of five number one songs for Diamond Rio.
I'd start walking your way, you'd start walking mine. We meet in the middle, meet that old Georgia pine.
Why that song is a single? Was it always going to be the first single? Is there a story behind why that song was picked?
No, man. When Jimmy and I we heard the demo, we got outvoted on whether to cut it or not. 4-2, because we were not into it. The demo was not good. It wasn't like it is. There was no, the bridge didn't exist. And Monty Powell, who was my roommate in college and was producing what we were doing along with Tim Dubois. But Monty and I and Jimmy, we went to work on, mostly Monty, and just coming up with some sort of turnaround, a bridge or whatever you want to call it, a B section. And that's where they started playing that went to those changes, and I just did, you know, just making it, babe, you know how we work it out, and that's what love is all about, bam, and right back into it. And we, as we work through the song, I want to preface that with, when we lose a vote, in our deal, there's six fingers. When you're listening to a song, it's like, you raise a finger, it's like pushing fast forward, and I'm done. And anytime we had four votes that wanted to keep the song, we did, and we went in, we cut it. And the rule was, and we verbalized this, we're going to all, even the ones who got outvoted, will give it their best shot. Because if you don't, and it ends up, everybody else loves it, and it's a single, you're not your best performance on there. I don't want that. So we got that pretty quick. So we all gave it our best effort to make it, work, even though I wasn't really all that into it to start off with. When we finished the record, the tracking, and it had a rough vocal on it for me, that was when the epiphany happened. And went, this is it.
You liked it then?
Yes.
So when you talk about the bridge, you know, that's the, I love the way we work it, that's what love is all about. Would you be recording and kind of just say stuff in the studio, or were you writing it down? Like, how would you come up with that new bridge, and that one specifically?
And I don't have a great memory of it, but I'm pretty sure it was in, we had all the time in the world in a studio. We actually went to what we used with our record money. We bought a studio. We bought all the equipment and rented a little place over here in what they call the five.
Well, that's quite responsible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
we did not go blow it.
That's it doesn't true. Sound like it. So you guys, how did it feel? Because it depends on the speed of the success of the song. Did it feel like Meet in the Middle was flying up a chart?
Yes, sir.
Did your life feel like it was changing?
Yes, sir. Because we were starving to death and had struggled. I've been in this band since 1984. Not until basically 1990 did we even do a handshake deal with Tim to have a record deal. And on that, we were able to get some writing contracts and a little bit of money and sit down, and I didn't go on the road anymore. We wrote, Monty had a 16 track in his basement. We would sit and work all day on write on stuff and literally get on the bass boat to unwind and go fish all night long.
And do it again the next day.
Yep. And we kept writing, and Jimmy and I and Dan did a lot of that together and ended up coming up with a lot of songs that other guys were writing too. And we spent our time writing in a studio, not unlike what they used to do back in the 70s, where you just kind of go in and create a record. Now, we were listening. We put all of our stuff right alongside with the greatest. We were all of a sudden getting top-notch songs pitched to us, and we didn't give ourselves preference. Matter of fact, we probably judged our stuff more critically.
Really? Instead of the other way around, which is usually the case.
To a fault, yep. Yes. But we found great songs, and then we always made them our own. We didn't. Sometimes, if the demo was great, we would not be too proud to go, let's see if we can do that just a little better. Mm-hmm. Diamond reel on that arrangement. That's not true most of the time. At least it wasn't for us.
The Bobbycast. We'll be right back.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct-to-consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com. Tecovas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on StraightTalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
This is the Bobbycast.
You've talked about golfing and you've talked about fishing a little bit and you've talked about cars a little bit. Just at the passion that you talk about them, I would expect those are the three things you love.
I do. I love golf. I love outdoors. I love to be outdoors. I love to play golf, but I used to fish and hunt, but I don't have time to do all of them.
How often do you play golf?
Three or four times a week.
You're going to say a day. I was going to say, how do you even have time to do that?
I live on the golf course.
You do?
I was one of the first things I was able to do. We bought a home in Williamson County that was on a golf course that was not in great shape, but it is now called Nashville Golf and Athletic, and it's an incredible
turn. Played there last week.
Diamond in the rough. Did you play it?
Played there last week,
it'll
yeah.
Beat you up.
It will beat you up. There's a hole, maybe it's like, I haven't played it enough to all the holes, but if it's like 14 or 15, but you don't really know how far you're up on a hill and you have to hit it over.
Par 3?
It's par 4. It's a short par 4, but you have to hit it, and you think you can just cut the corner, then you drive around, and you realize you can't really cut the corner.
Oh, number 5.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe we played and 10 is that the water.
Number 1 is the toughest, one of the toughest
number one sucks. You're right. It's hard. We were driving off, and the lady was like, "Be careful for the water on one." And we're like, "Yeah, whatever."
Then we get the tee.
Off the tee.
And then on your second shot.
Yeah, everywhere.
And if you miss the green on your third shot.
Yeah, hitting the water off the tee. And I didn't know the water was over there. So you can play a few times a week. You feel pretty good. Are you healthy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love it. I don't play as well as I used to. I was very, very into it. I still am. But, yeah, I mean, I have my handicap down to scratch. And
what?
And I know that's the truth. But I've got a little, since 2020, I went through a few things with my family that I guess could have, this golf was not in it. And my mother passed, and then my father, and of course, 2020 and all that kind of stuff. But, I can't hit it. I got old.
What do you think you are now?
I know what I am.
Well, what are
you? I'm an 11.
Okay. Well, that's about what I am now. I've played for 6 or 7 years.
That's pretty good.
Behind this curtain here, I got a simulator, and you think I'd be better.
I don't need to say.
I know. Like, it's okay.
It's fun if it's snowing outside.
That's when it's
winter. Again, it's winter. Good to work on your swing and,
yes,
and stuff like that, but
people
it's
like,
not
you have
the
a
same.
Simulator, won't you just... And I do, but it's not the same.
Golf is a creative game, and that's what I like about it.
Golf has affected other parts of my life, too, where with the... You hit in the woods, are you going to freak out and be like, oh, this sucks, or...
Love it.
Do you just have to go, I got to... Forget that. I got to remember maybe why I did it, but I can't let that affect the next thing.
I learned things. Everybody should, but I learned things about myself when I have many options. When I'm in the middle of the fairway and I've got all kinds of different ways to play this shot, and have a correct result, my desired result, I lose focus, and I will. That's when I'll hit my worst shots. When I only have one option. And it's something that most people would go, you can't do that. You can't see the ball through that. I'm like, yeah, that's, I don't have can't in my vocabulary. So, and I'll hit some of the coolest shots.
Why do you think that
out
is?
Of the woods. I love that part of it.
Why do you think that is?
Focus.
Forced focus?
I would say focus and just no choice. You had no choice but to play this play, or you're going to have to, you know, you're going to make a 10, whatever you pick up, and you go the next hole. And that's the other cool thing about golf. You get 18 chances, you know, and you can always come back and do it again, which is something about life. Even a lot of things in life, you do get another crack at.
Sure.
They come around often, the same scenarios. Not always. Every now and then, there's once in a lifetime things that you wish you had done better, stuff like that.
Tell me about the kick.
That was a lot of fun, but that came about, you know, obviously we had two guys retire. If no one out there knows, but Gene and Brian both retired from the business, and they're enjoying being done. They're a little older than the four of us who stayed, and we're happy for them, but we didn't want to quit, and we needed a drummer and a somebody sing High Harmony, play mandolin. And so during all that, it didn't happen all at the same time. When Brian left, he had actually groomed Micah, who was our drummer. He had been his sub for about a decade. And Micah's young. They're both really young. He's 40, I think, now. But he started playing with us when Brian went through his first surgeries for carpal tunnel and things like that are common with drummers. And it was awesome. And he had grown up worshiping. That's how he learned to play drums, was listening to Diamond Reel records. And he's a spectacular talent. So that was a natural thing. It was, the only question was, would Micah say yes? And he did. And so he's been with us for a couple of years now. And then we were subbing with these guys, bluegrass dudes that sang High Harmony and played mandolin, fiddle, whatever. And they really couldn't hang. If several of them, I won't name them, but they were well-known and awesome musicians of their own right and had some success. And they're, one of them said, you know, you realize Gene's a freak the way he sings high, so high, and it's not falsetto, it's full voice. And so we had a couple of girls that were subbing, and they did great. And this little girl who was a senior at UK, and I, of course, I'm a big Kentucky fan, so that didn't hurt. But She was a fiddle champion and competition fiddle player and sang high harmony, and it fit. And she was high energy, and she grabbed a hold of metal and started learning that. It's all the same fingerings, but it's totally different. But she's been a champ, and her name's Carson McKee. And so by the end of the year, Gene lost his wife during all that. That was part of the reason why he was gone. That's the only reason. He was obviously where he needed to be with June and her struggle. And that when that was over, Gene was 73 years old, 72 at the time, and he decided he wanted to do the same thing as Brian did. And so when that happened, we asked Carson if she would at least, you know, do a full year with us. And she's been here now going on 2 years, a year and a half. And so when that happened, so we're back to the kick. When those two youngins came in, we wanted to showcase their abilities, and she was wanting, and Jimmy was wanting to write some stuff. So him and Carson started writing this thing, and then Micah got involved because he had heard it, and it just kind of all got involved to add our two cents worth, not unlike how we used to do it. And also we had an instrumental, which we've always done. We've had instrumentals on every album from the very beginning, and had several nominated for Grammys. Never won a Grammy, but on the instrumental side, that's always been a part of what we've done. And all of a sudden, Micah is a film. He was doing shooting videos and things like that already for a living. So he shot the video and edited it. He's spectacular at that. And we had friends across the road from Jimmy who had this great shop and all these cool collectible cars. And we just came up with this idea. And it's what's cool about where we are in our life. It's like, if nobody cares or nobody likes, I don't care. We just do it for fun. And we know that it's going to be really good music because that's what we do. We wouldn't put it out. We feel like we hold ourselves to a higher accountability than anyone else does. And if it doesn't hit the chord with somebody, then okay. I mean, it's our label and with our money, right. And we shot the video. That's what I like about, that's the good thing about what's going on in the music business with the internet and being able to get an outlet out there and not have to go through certain gatekeepers that we grew up having to go through. That's cool. I like that.
Starting December 1st, you guys are out on the road.
Through the 18th or somewhere like 17th or 18th.
Yeah.
Yes, we're doing every weekend we're having our Christmas show, Diamond Rio Holiday and the Hits. And it is, it varies. Sometimes it's a lot of Christmas stuff. Sometimes it's mostly hits. But the Christmas show itself is mostly Christmas. You know, it's a great diversion for us, and it's a fun show. It's a lot of fun. And it shows a slightly different side of us, and you'll get to hear your favorite Christmas songs, and you'll definitely hear mine.
Well, what about though? If I go, am I going to hear? It's a beautiful mess. It's a beautiful mess. You do that one for sure. Okay, good. How about?
It'll be in there.
Unbelievable. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Good. As long as you do those, I'm good.
Keep going.
I don't know any words to any song, but I know every word to meet in the middle. I'm not singing that though.
Good.
I tried. Thank you. Yes, I tried. Didn't go well for me. So let me say this: you guys go check it out on Facebook at Diamond Rio. Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Diamond Rio Band, and go check out the show. I'm super pumped. Thanks for coming and hanging out. Thanks for the merch.
Yes, you're awesome. Right. And I didn't know what size, so I brought a medium
head
and
huge.
A large.
Oh.
And I saw where you just fairly recently married the last year or so.
Yes.
And so if the medium doesn't fit you, maybe it'll fit the wife. Is she a Diamond Rio fan?
She is. Who's not?
What would you say? You're not going to...
Yes, I would. Oh, I would for sure be like, she never heard of you.
Yeah,
don't worry. I tell you the truth. Like, you tell me the truth.
But yes, and we are working on a new single.
Okay.
A new song.
Okay.
And it is actually from the Mothballs about something that Jimmy and I and a girl named Heather wrote.
Instrumental.
No. Okay. This is a duet with Carson. So this is going to be...
That's what I'm waiting
about
for.
She and I... Or not about she and I, it was about my daughter and when she went off to school in Australia and to chase her dream about being in the praise and worship world. And we wrote this song because it just killed me. She's as far away from me as she could get. If she kept going, she must get closer.
She's in the exact opposite.
Yes. Exactly.
Good to see you, Marty. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If I knew where your house was, I'd have hit a golf ball closer to it.
Yes. Well, you can come out. You're welcome.
I might have hit your house on accident.
No, I know how to buy a house on the golf course, and it's not quite right on it.
Okay, good deal. All right, there he is, Marty Rowe of Diamond Rio.
Thanks for listening to a Bobbycast production.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines. All on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.